My name is ER. I would like to hear a program regarding overcoming the difficulties and challenges of blended family dynamics.
Well, that's a good question. You know, it's interesting. You say, I would like to know how we can overcome or get over something that requires blending. It's kind of like, how do I get around the whole blending process? And the reality is, when you blend, there's going to be heat, there's going to be energy, there's going to be some stress. Not always the same level for every family. Some go through it, seems like more smoothly than others, but it is a process. I'm Randy Carlson. This is the Intentional Living Center. We're talking about blended families today. Ron Deal from Family Life, who's the head of family or blended families for Family Life, joining me. An author and speaker on this topic. He'll be here in just a moment. We'll be plugging into this very important topic. Love to have you join in with your comments on our comment line at 888-888-1717, press number 2. The reality is that when you blend families, each member of a blended family is bringing some form of hurt into that relationship. There's going to be a loss, a change in direction. Every person is going to be in a different place. You're deeply in love with this new person that you're going to be married to, but the kids may not be all that excited. They're in a different place. People have to get through hurt and loss, understand their hurt and loss, I think, before they can really reach the like and love of families. It's a process, and everyone is on a different timeline, and I think being patient is going to be one of the words of today. Requires patience and understanding. There's going to be cutting some slack at times, giving some room for people to hurt and to share. And I think we have to take this whole thing of 1 Corinthians 13 on patience and understanding and forgiveness and love and put it on steroids. Because that's really what it is. It's going to be on a steroid level growth in your own life. Because as we teach at the Intentional Living Center, marriage is for adults who are ready to serve. And I think when it comes to a blended family, it takes mature adults who are also ready to sacrifice. Because there's a certain element of that. It's not just, hey, it's all going to be peaches. There's going to be some challenges, and some families more so than others. We're going to get Ron on here to join us on today's program. If you'd like to join us with your comments, give us a call, 888-888-1717, press number 2 for our comment line. And Ron Deal is on the line. Ron, welcome back to the program. Nice to have you with us.
Thanks, Randy. It's always good to be with you.
What do you think? Was I on course or off course when it comes to, if you're in a first marriage, you got to be willing to serve, but if you're in a blended family, you also have to have some level of sacrifice?
Yeah, no, and you nailed it. A mature couple who is willing to sacrifice. Emphasis on mature, maybe we should say maturing, right?
Yeah.
We're all maturing.
Right.
None of us have arrived, but humility of heart that allows us to be moldable, shaped, teachable by the Holy Spirit and what life is showing us are huge qualities for any couple, any family, but I think especially important in a blended family. Mm-hmm. You do have some things you've got to overcome. You know, I had an image pop into my mind as you were talking. You were talking about being patient. And, you know, more and more couples that are getting married and forming blended families have an element to their wedding ceremony these days. It's called the blending of the sands ceremony. Have you seen that? Yeah, and so it's a little bit like the idea of the unity candle, but you have on stage this big clear vase, and then separate vases for the groom, the bride, and then children, however many there are, and each has a different color. And you get the idea, even if you're just picturing it, you know, the groom pours some of himself into this unifying vase, the bride pours some of herself, then kids, however many, each on their both sides or what have you, are pouring a little of themselves in. And it creates this beautiful mosaic of colors of sand, right?
Yeah.
Well, the reality is that's the wedding ceremony. and kids, if it happened the way it really happens in life, one kid would pour all of himself in and just go, man, I love this new guy. My stepdad is awesome. I'm all in. Right. Another child would pick up their vase and they would pull out two grains of sand and they would flick them into the vase as if to say, no, I don't think so. You know, this is not my wanting. This is something they're making happen around me. But I'm not pouring myself into this new family. And then you get another child who pours some of themselves in, but then they pull up another vase. That's the other home. and they're pouring part of themselves over there. And then they go a little more over here and then back to the other vase over there. That's the reality. So it doesn't create this beautiful mosaic on day one. The mosaic is something that you create over time. Mm. And blended family couples who think that that ritual at the wedding then automatically gives them familyness, as I like to call it, they're set up for a lot of disappointment when they go home and this one child's only throwing two grains of sand of themselves into the family. That's all they're invested. And the adults are invested huge, Randy, right? I mean, they got married for a reason. They're pouring all of themselves in. But not everybody else does on the first day. You have to be patient, and you have to say, how do I meet this kid where they are? Right now, they are withholding most of themselves. How do I meet that child where they are? Those are some of the challenges that people face. But if you find your way through that, I think what you'll find over time is that the child begins to say, okay, I'll put a little more of me in, a little more of me in, and over time, maybe a lot of me in. But that's to be seen.
It takes time. Ron Deal is here with me today on the phone. Ron is the director of the Blended Family for Family Life out of Little Rock, Arkansas. Our friends at Family Life doing a great job helping marriage and parenting and families here and around the world. Glad to have Ron on with us today. And if you can't reach us live, you can always leave your question or your comment on our storyline, just like Marva did over there in Missouri.
My husband and I have been married 27 years, and we have a blended family. He has four children, and I have four children, and they're all about the same age. My problem is they're all grown and out on their own, except that they often, especially his, will come back for help, financial help, or one of them has moved in a time or two, and I don't know how to get him to say no. And me too. I'm pretty much one that can say no, but trying to get him to back me up on saying no is also a problem. So how do we say no to financial help to these 40-plus-year-old children and also to either buying or giving them vehicles?
Wow, Marva, and I hear in Marva's voice, Ron, a little frustration with her husband. How do I get this guy to stand up and be the man of this house and tell his 40-year-old son it's time for him to take his own responsibility? Big issue. That happens in all families, the blended families in particular. That can be a big issue.
That's right. She has more than a little frustration. You're exactly right about that. Well, first of all, let me react and say this is not a financial issue.
Mm-mm.
This is not adult child versus small child issue. This is a parent who doesn't know how to say no, who doesn't know how to disappoint their children. That's the issue. And the fact that dad couldn't do it when they were young shouldn't surprise us that he still can't do it when they're old. He just has to find the courage. Now, inevitably, when I sit down with somebody and start talking about this, they know they should say no. It's not a matter of they don't know it. They don't recognize that they're somehow, you know, keeping their kids dependent upon them. I think what's behind it is a fear, and that's what I don't know. Like, if the dad were listening right now, and I would just ask him, I would say, so what's your concern? What's your fear? If you don't provide this car, this money, what's going to happen? And whatever follows is what's holding him back. Now, it may be a very legitimate concern. It might be something that he's kind of imagined it'll be worse than life would really show us that it is. Whatever that fear is, that's his barrier, and he's got to figure out how to walk through that fear if he's ever going to actually say, I'm sorry, I can't help you.
There's a lot, I think, of guilt that flows through that too. I mean, I messed up the family and maybe went through the marriage with this kid's mom or dad didn't work well, and I take responsibility, and now there's feeling of guilt, and I'm trying to make up for something in the past, and young people can start to take advantage of that as well.
Are you suggesting kids would pick up on this?
Yeah, I would think so.
That they would, you think so? Wow, wow, that's surprising. I can't imagine a child that would take advantage of a parent who will be a little sinful
nature there.
An open ATM, you know? you're exactly right. They're gonna just keep coming back. Not that they're, you know, feigning failure. I mean, sometimes people just have hard times. And again, if this is hard times one time, that help them. But if this is hard times repetitively, then, I mean, the way I would say it is, two objects can't occupy the same space. It's the second law of thermodynamics, all right? So if you occupy the responsibility space, they cannot occupy the responsibility space. Mm-hmm. And now you're disintegrating who they are as people. You need to step out of the responsibility space, let them step into it, and that will grow them as people. It's a hard move for any of us as parents.
It is. But, you know, one of the formulas that I use in conferences, Ron, is expectations minus reality equals disappointment.
Yeah.
And you said a moment ago, you know, you got to learn how to disappoint your child. And that kind of struck me that in that little formula, one of the things you need to do is have realistic expectations. In other words, with your adult son or daughter, or with your wife's or husband's son or daughter, to sit down together as a couple and say, hey, let's be clear on what the expectations are. You know, we can help with this, but not with this. We're willing to step in with this, but not with this, and set those up in advance. So when you say no or when you say yes, either way, it was based on reasonable expectations that you planted in their minds. So it helps you not be as disappointed yourself. So I think really working with the expectations in advance of what you will or won't do with your adult children, I think is really important.
Yeah, I got to mention my book, devotional book for couples, Daily Encouragement for the Smart Step Family. It's a 365-day devotional for couples to read. And again, one of the ideas behind this book is sit down, share a simple thought in 1 minute or less, and have it help you come together so that you can lead from a position of unity as a couple. It'll strengthen your marriage. It'll help you in your parenting. It'll help you with your finances and dealing with ex-spouses. All the unique things that blended families face on a daily basis. Part of the hidden agenda here is just what you're talking about, creating shared expectations for how we lead together. That is such an important concept.
Well, it is. Ron Deal's here with me today. By the way, if you want to check out his material, his book, ministry, and so on, we'll have the information up on our website. Just go to theintentionallife.com, click on broadcast highlights, and Ron and his information will be there listed for you. We're talking about blended families today. Love to have you come in and join us with your comments at 888-888-1717 and press number 2.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
I want to tell you how much I appreciate your ministry about being intentional in our living, and I pray that it will reach more people for the kingdom of God, as well as keep people in the kingdom of God that are falling through the cracks or maybe just needing some strength from the Lord.
What you're doing to be intentional in your marriage, I have given up my addiction to pornography, and it has improved my marriage immensely with my wife.
I've learned that God has a plan for my marriage and my family. I am striving to have a closer walk with the Lord and praying for salvation for my family.
At the moment that we get a realization that there's something revealed in our minds or our hearts, and if we're in a quiet place and we're really listening and paying attention, we have one of two choices at that moment. You have the choice to either act on that aha moment, that realization, or you have the option to not act. And here's a fact, both of them are choices.
Yeah, that's true. This month, I've put together a teaching for our members are those who support the ministry every month. I wish we could send it to everyone, but members, you've shown that level of engagement with the ministry. It's our sort of our monthly update newsletter on CD, including a teaching. But anyway, the teaching this month is on how aha moments can change your life. As I say, aha moments are the good ones. They're the one, aha, you know, you have a realization. Things aren't going so well in my marriage. Hey, listen, whatever she just said, that's sort of a sign that something's got to be dealt with. That's an aha moment. You look at your bank account and it's not adding up. That's an aha moment.
you're having some health realizations and you're saying, hey, you're going to either have an aha moment. If you don't, you're going to have an oh no moment down the road, physically, financially, relationally, spiritually, and otherwise. And so we're here to encourage you this month. That's the teaching. Members, watch for it. If you're not a member, come and join us. We'll get that to you. Your monthly support. It's our gift to you. And by the way, we're wrapping up our fiscal year on June 30th. And boy, do we need your help. We've been behind where we need to be, but we're close. We can see the finish line. We're doing something special to finish this month strong. My wife is an artist. She's put together this beautiful watercolor painting, 16 by 20, ready to be framed. And upon it will be the 10 principles that I teach about finishing strong. It'll be a daily reminder to you from our ministry. We're saying thanks with this. It'll be autographed. It's a way of saying thank you for helping us finish strong, but you have to ask for it when you share that special gift today. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Click on donate or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and press number 4, okay, to talk to our staff. And you make these kind of stories possible.
My husband and I have a blended family. He married me with 3 children. And they came from 2 different fathers, and I was the only believer for a long time, and it was very difficult at Christmas time. After him almost divorcing me because I was a Christian, he is now a Christian himself and an awesome man of God. But don't give up in prayer. You may be the reason you're in your husband's life will be to save him.
Boy, listen, appreciate your call. You got there the hard way, but, you know, you got there. And patience. Sometimes you have to hang on, Ron. Your work with blended families, I would imagine there's for some people, an early exit strategy. If this thing isn't working after a few months, I'm out of here. But sometimes waiting a little bit longer, working together, some of those things start to smooth out.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned an early exit strategy. We do know from research that people that have been through, for example, one divorce and are now married in a stepfamily situation, that they do exit more quickly that second marriage than other people in marriages. Why? Well, a number of things kind of influence that, but one of them is this sense of, I know what pain is. I don't want to go through that pain again. If I smell it coming, I'm out. I know what it is to be betrayed because in my first marriage, my wife betrayed me. And so if I have any sense that I can't trust my second wife, I can't trust her kids, I can't trust her with my children, whatever that is, I can't trust her. I'm out. I'm not going through that again. Right. So they kind of go into the marriage with this impending sense of doom. And there's a fear of going through a similar experience that they had in the first marriage, and that sets them up, Randy, to be hypervigilant and seeing things that often are not there, right? They're so looking for evidence that their fears are right, that they find the evidence, and then they pull back. By the way, this is one reason we at Family Life Blended are constantly trying to equip ministry leaders, coaches, marriage ministry directors, pastors in the local church, because a lot of pastors don't realize this. They don't know how to, on the front end, to equip or help a couple getting ready to get married. They don't know how to bring up these unique aspects of blended family living. We do an event every fall called the Summit on Step Family Ministry. If any of your listeners right now are interested at all, from a lay couple all the way up to people on staff to elders in a church, if they're interested in learning more about step families and what they can do, we do a 2-day ministry equipping event, the Summit on Step Families. They can learn more about that from your website, I'm sure, but also from familylife.com.
Well, good. I hope they'll check that out, because it's a resource that can be helpful for pastors and for churches. We've got people commenting on Facebook, Lynette, for instance, talking about the fact that, okay, the stepkids are all in college, but it seems like they, you know, can bring some of their problems home with them. In other words, they've been rooted into their lives, been a part of who they are. Their biggest challenge is learning to not only appreciate and loving the moments, but also the discipline. I want to protect my kids, she says, but they're bringing things from past experience. How do you respond when you've got a stepchild, maybe an adult, a young adult, and you're getting the grief from things that, frankly, were not your fault?
Yeah, and Lynette's also pointing out that her children, it sounds like she has biological children of her own, and they're getting the ripple effects of this older college-age kids that are coming home, her stepchildren. Yeah, wow, really awkward and difficult situation there. And it doesn't surprise me. I think a lot of kids do come home from college carrying with them all the baggage from what they've been feeling. They go away to school, they get a break, and then they have to come home to the stress again or whatever the storyline is, and they don't necessarily come home happy sometimes. And that does ripple into the step-parent and the step-siblings situation. That's one of those deals where the step-mom, in this case, needs to talk to her husband before his kids come back from college, and they really need to try to have a game plan. Like, what are we going to do? What usually happens? How do we usually handle it? What do we want to try to do this time? How do we be mindful there are other people living in the house and protect them, and just in the sense of them having to not be exposed necessarily to the negativity? And they just got to get a game plan. Will it be perfect? No. Will they live and learn? Yes. But at least they're trying to lead from a position of unity, and they're trying to be proactive rather than just being reactive. You know how important that is.
Absolutely. Ron Deal is here joining us from Family Life. He's in charge of the Family Life Blended ministry there. We're talking blended families today, and we'd love to have you join in. We'll come back with maybe time for one more call. We'll see how it goes. You're always welcome to join us at 888-888-1717.
Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with another Intentional Living Minute. Disagreement over faith is a really big problem. It's a big deal because faith is a big deal to you, to your life, for eternity. What you believe or what you don't believe about God is like your lens for life, the way you see life, the way you see relationships. Can I encourage you, if you disagree about faith in your marriage, that you seek peace? Remember, you're not the Holy Spirit. It's not your job to change the heart of your spouse or change their mind or make them a Christian. That's God's work. Don't preach, but pray and grow your own faith quietly, intentionally, with acts of love and patience and kindness and encouragement. And when you do those things, that's intentional living.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
You know what? That Intentional Living Minute, we video recorded at the same time, and I would really love sending it to you. And here's the way we're doing it right now. It's through Facebook. So if you're on Facebook and if you like our page, a new video will be in your news feed every day. Just go to facebook.com/intentionalliving or come to our site, either way. Okay? We'd love to get that into your hands, part of our ministry here. And I want to thank our supporters because you guys make these kind of stories possible.
Hi, Dr. Randy. My name is Wendy, and I am in a blended family. And our finances have depleted, and I cannot get my husband to work. I'm trying to do the intentional living thing by letting him lead and trying not to be argumentative, and sometimes he can be difficult. He was very helpful. We've only been married near 2 years. Between us, we have 3 children, and I just don't know how to make him understand that he needs to contribute financially. Please pray for us.
Yeah, we will. And, you know, Wendy, I would be interested to know what his pattern was in his earlier marriage. Has this been a pattern that he's not worked or not provided, or is it just shown up now? Is there something causing this? Has he got depression, or does he have some medical issue, or is there something going on in his life, or is it part of his character and his personality and the way he views life that he's just, you know, frankly, not a hard worker? But that gets to be an issue. We're talking about blended family. Often the attention, Ron, goes to the kids, but in this case, it could be just between the husband and wife. She's just saying, hey, this isn't turning out like I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely an expectation that has not been met for her there, and rightfully so, it sounds like. To me, the question is always leverage, right? Does she have leverage? Would he hear her heart on that? It kind of sounds like she feels powerless. So if she does not have leverage, then who does?
is it a friend of his? Is it his uncle? Is it his brother? Is it a pastor? Who could help speak into his life? I think it might do her some good to try to pull that person in and have them speak with him, encourage him, figure out what's going on, why he can't get active, find the leverage. That's the only way things are going to change.
It's important to communicate. That's key. Hey, listen, we've got about 2 minutes left. Ron, you work with a lot of blended families. What's the parting shot for blended folks listening today?
I've written 6 books, and 5 of them have the word smart in the title. I'm convinced that stepfamilies got to get smart about blended family living so that they can navigate that as a couple, navigate through it. There's just enough unique and strange about the territory. Look, if you were traveling to a foreign country you've never been to before and they have a different language, a different money system, a different government, different ecology, different landscape, different weather, you would do a little research. You would spend a little time trying to make that a good trip and learn some things and gather some tools. Blended families have to do that. This is a foreign country. You are, you know, a family you are creating, different than what you might expect, different language, different money system, different rules, different leadership and authority system, on it goes. The smarter you get, the healthier your family has a chance to be. Walking with God in faithfulness, letting him teach you and show you and train you, living up, taking all this stuff you learn from Dr. Randy all the time on this broadcast, and then adding to it all those unique specifics that are related to blended families, that is a wonderful combination. Randy, it's clear, the families we see and watch over time who have done that have far more success and reward in their family journey than those who don't.
That's right.
It's pretty simple.
That's what we tell people. Living intentionally is knowing what pleases Christ, what God's intentions are in terms of life, in this case in terms of family, and then living it out. Because when we choose to be intentional, here's what we believe: God gets the glory and we get the benefit. I don't think there's anything that we do to glorify God that ultimately is not something positive for our own life. May not feel like it at the moment, but ultimately, we know that God loves his children, and that's part of the process. Ron, thank you for joining us from Family Life today. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Ron Deal is the director, the top guy when it comes to Family Life Blended at Family Life Ministry. And if you'd like to know more about his resources and what's going on, you can check it out at our website, theintentionallife.com, and you'll find him there under our broadcast highlights. Thank you for joining me today and our team, and we'll be here again next time from the Intentional Living Center with more help as you walk intentionally with him every day.